This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. That's Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Good morning. It is good to gather together this morning and worship our God together. As we have this opportunity to do on the Lord's Day, there's so many things that we could be doing, and I'm glad that you chose to be here to worship God. We want to welcome those that are in the audience that were in the Future Preacher Training Camp. They took a weekend to come here and study and look at God's word, and we're just, they should be commended for being here and doing that. As we look today, we're going to look at believing in the power of God's word. And as saw in our scripture reading, we need to understand the power of God's word. And do we really believe it has the power? Perhaps we know the power of God, and we see that through creation and through the wisdom of God and the works of God. But do we believe in Scripture that we have the power of God in our hands? That is written in God's Word. Today we're going to look at the power of God's Word in order for us to believe in it. And if we believe in the power of God's word, then we're motivated to take the time each and every day to read it and study it. And we see that through the power of God, then once we then can also encourage others and share it with others as well. God's word is powerful. If you turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23, we see in Jeremiah 23 two things that we're going to look at. One, that God's word is powerful. It's like a fire, and it's like a hammer. And as we read in our scripture reading, it's like a sword. As we look at Jeremiah chapter 23, the context of Jeremiah 23 starts off by condemning the leadership of God's people. The pastor, they're looking at over God's people, and he says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture," says the Lord. And then it goes on to tell of the coming Messiah. Then there's false prophets will be denounced. And in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29, this is one of God's responses to these false prophets that are out there speaking lies. He says to Jeremiah, he says, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, 'He says.' Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord." You see, God uses the example of fire to show the power of his word. And we see that these false prophets were out saying, "Well, God said this, and God said this, and God said, but God did not say this." And God's word is like a fire to them. And when we look at this, as we know Jeremiah knew that fire that was in him to speak the word of God. In Jeremiah 5 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word that I'm giving you, behold, I'll make my words in your mouth fire, and his people wood, and it shall devour them." When we look at Jeremiah, Jeremiah understood what God meant when he said, "My word is fire." Because this fire, that God was going to take his words and put it in Jeremiah's mouth, and it's going to come out as fire. It's consuming the people that is going to be the wood. And then you may think, well, why would God do that? Why would God consume these people? Because they're speaking falsely about God and saying things that aren't really from God. And we also know that God's word is fire, and it consumes. And it also refines, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning. He also knew how God's word would burn within him that he could not speak. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20, and then we're going to read 7 through 11. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 11. And Jeremiah, when he was speaking and he was talking to God and just talking out, and he said, "Oh Lord, you have induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and have prevailed. I am a derision daily. Everyone mocks me, for when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted violence and plunder." You see, he did what God asked him to do. He went out and spoke and cried out to the people, and violence and plunder. What a lot of the prophets went out to do is preach repentance and teach them to turn away from their evil and turn back to God. And he did that just as God wanted him to. And he said, "Because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily." And it was people didn't accept it. And what ended up happening, it became a reproach to him. People mocked him, as we'll read here. It says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." You see, it gets to a point where he was just like, the people were not listening to him. He's being persecuted for speaking what God wanted him to. And he said, "I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to mention him. I'm not even going to speak of his name anymore." But what happened was this: "But the word was a fire in my heart, like a but God's word was like in my heart, like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I couldn't." You see, he knew what God wanted him to do, and it was consumed him so much that even if he tried to hold it back, he couldn't, because he knew the importance of speaking God's word. And he said, "I could not, for I heard many mocking, fear on every side. Report, they say, we will report. And all my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced when we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him." But this is what his response was. He said, "But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one." You see, he was told to go speak his word, go take this word out, and yes, he felt persecution, and yes, he felt like, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to take this word to anybody because he's feeling this persecution." But it was, the word was a fire in his heart that he couldn't just keep it in. But he knew the power that in the might that stood behind it. It was God's word, and God was the one standing behind it. As preachers and teachers of God's word, where we get into trouble is when we go away from God. When we say, "Oh, well, God may have said that, or may tell you to believe this, but you know, if you do it this way, it's just easier." Or maybe, you know, if we say, "Well, God's word says this, but, you know, in my opinion, you don't have to really follow that." That's when we get into trouble. See, if we look and stand on God's word, that's where the power is. God is the one backing it by his power. He is the one that it is really speaking just as through us. And as we look at that, it's a fire that's taken out to devour. But it also refines. God's word is powerful to them who truly understand its power and conviction in one's life. When God's word is uttered, it consumes evil and purifies good. It burns up the empty utterance of false teachers. And then we see in Jeremiah 29 and verse 21 that it's also like a hammer, destroys the statements of self-proclaimed spokesmen for God. It's just, and we think of God's word, and you think maybe of a big pile of a mountain or a rock, and it shatters it. It shatters. It's like God just takes his word and shatters that rock. And when we think of that, that's how powerful God's word is. It's that powerful that is fire, and it's also a hammer that shatters those false statements that people proclaim that they're from God. And it's interesting to see the description of fire and hammer used to refine metals for the proper use. God's word is just that for those who apply it to their lives. It refines us to reform in which God desires. And if we would turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and as we think about false teachers and false words, and Paul reminding Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, he said, "Remind them of these things, charge them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers." But he said, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." You see, we are to be diligent. We are to take God's word, to study it, to strive after it, to seek after it, that we can be approved by God. If God has given us his word and we follow his word, wouldn't we be approved by God? As long as we're rightly dividing it, we're not just taking this piece and that piece, but putting the whole thing together and following after his word, we do not need to be ashamed of it. Because it is God who said this. It is God that is backing this. And we, when we find this word of truth, we are to stand firm in it. And in 16 through 18, it says, you know, don't profane or don't worry about these idle babblings that are going on behind the scenes. But he said, you know, preach the word. He said, teach those. And because God knows who he is, whose children are his, he said, nevertheless, in verse 19, the solid foundation of God stands. Having the seal, the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You see, those who follow Jesus Christ, those who stand firm in God's word are his. Those are the ones who are following after God, the ones who are making the stand for God's word. They're seeking after it, and those who put on the name of Christ. And how do we put on the name of Christ? Well, first, we must believe in Jesus Christ. We must confess and repent of our sins and be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of our sins. And that's how we put on Christ. And look at verse 20 in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." That's what Paul was teaching Timothy, to understand the power of God's word, rightly divide it, and then live faithful to God, knowing that when we committed ourselves to Christ, and when we became a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, the way God instructed, that we have this, that we're prepared for every good work, that we're sanctified and useful for God, so that we can stand on God's word, that we can look at it and know that it is true, and then we can go out and share it with others, so that they know the power of God's word. As we look at Hebrews, our scripture reading today, we see that it is also like a sword. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is powerful. And when we think of this, the Word of God is alive. It's active. It's powerful. And it's not just alive, but it is actively alive. And in the tense indicates that it is constantly alive. It is powerful, as we see. Isaiah 55 and verse 11 declares that God's word will not return void or empty. So when God's word is proclaimed and taught and shared with others, you can know for sure it's not going to come back empty. But we have to stick to God's word. We have to strive to know God's word so we can share it with others. God's word is powerful. While God reveals himself to us in his word, that's what makes it powerful, is God is revealing himself to us. And when we study the depths of God and we see things in his word, it enriches us over and over again. The more we read it, the more we learn about it. The more we study it, the more we come closer to God in understanding him, as long as we apply it to our lives. This comparison of a fire, hammer, and sword, we can see the power of God's word. And God's word has transforming power. We look at the Apostle Paul and look at him beforehand. His name was Saul, better known as Paul. He was a persecutor of the early Christians. He was a violent aggressor against them. He was authoritative in casting the votes against those Christians, and he was also striving to get them to deny Christ. But how did Saul go from that point to being completely against God to saying this, "I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me." What happened to Saul that he persecuted the church that now says that? It's the power of God's word to transform our lives. Paul was he studied a Gamaliel. On the feet of him, he knew the old law. He understood it. And when he was taught it correctly, he became obedient. He followed after Christ because of the transforming power of God's word. In Romans 12, he begged Christians, those who would listen, he said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, he begged Christians to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Because he understood the power of God's word and how that after that he said in Romans 1 and verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation." The power of God's word transforms life. And the power brought about in Christ towards us, Ephesians 1:19. The gospel message has power to change lives. The power to forgive sins. The power to overcome sin and temptation. The power to work strength in our life that we can't overcome on our own. That's why Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might." When we look at God's word, it is powerful. It is powerful. We must believe in its power to change lives. We must understand how it convicts and refines us. And that's what God's word does. When we look and we're living a certain way and it goes against God's word, it convicts us. But it also encourages us when we can look at God's word and know that that's what I want to follow. Not what some man says or not what some other opinions is, but what God says. And we should always be seeking to strive after the message from God. And we can understand it. We can read it and study it each and every day and gain a better understanding of God's word. And when we do that, it'll help us live faithful to God. It'll help us to be the person God wants us to be. And as we see the power of God, it helps motivate us to study it each and every day, that we can learn about this power, learn about the power that God has in his word to change the hearts of men. And then we see that we must preach the word. Paul talked about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Preach the word. It's, you know, why did he say that? Because of the transforming power it has. Because of the power it has, like a fire, like a hammer, and like a sword that convince our heart to change our heart, to change our mind and the way we live. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when we look at that, we can know that when God's word is spoken, our faith can grow. Our faith will grow that we want to have this right relationship with God, and we can find out how to do that through God's word. Are you a faithful Christian? Are you one who has followed the scriptures on how to reach that eternal life that God has given us through Christ Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? You see, that's the first step, is believing who he is and in confessing that he is the Son of God and repenting of our sins, changing the way we're going to live, not living the ways of the world, but living as Christ lived. And then be buried in the waters of baptism, to have those sins washed away, and in living faithful to death. That's how God's word tells us how we are to be in a right relationship with God. Or maybe we have left God and lived the ways of the world. Well, there's also ways to come back to God with repentance and prayer. Know the power of God's word and know how to have that right relationship with God. And if we can help you this morning, get your life right with God, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.